Proverbs chapter 10. Just one verse tonight, verse 11, as we move forward and almost near our end, at least for the season of our series from the book of Proverbs. Children, here are your questions for this evening. First, why is it so important to be careful about what we say? And two, what should we do if we hurt someone by what we said to them? And three, what are some good ways we can use our words? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11. This is the word of God. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. There ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray together. Lord our God, we turn again to you tonight and ask for your blessing as we've received your word, that you would bless the reading of your word. Now we turn to the preaching of your word, and we ask for your continued blessing, that your spirit would illuminate us and guide us, that you would help us to understand and to apply your word to our lives, to our daily lives, in order to glorify you and to edify others. So we humbly ask that you would speak to us through the humble means that you've ordained, the preaching of your word. Please grant your preacher, your Holy Spirit, in a special measure, and prepare all of our hearts through the work of the Spirit as well, that we might receive well tonight. We come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, your words have power, probably more power than you know. And your words have targets. There's always recipients of our words, and we impact the people that we aim our words at, that we direct our words to, whether it's an individual or a larger group of people. We impact those that we speak to. The Bible is filled with references to the way that we use our tongues, to the way that we say what we say and the things that we say, and how careful we have to be with the way that we use our tongues. In the ultimate sense, of course, in light of our text, there's the way that leads to life in the preaching of the gospel. That is a fountain of life. And then there's all the false ways that would be the way of the wicked and the message of the wicked that conceal violence that ultimately actually lead people to their destruction. Tonight I want us to look at this issue of the use of our tongues from three different levels with three different intensities. First of all, from some observations from wisdom, from Proverbs, and then from James, who, as you probably know, is very pointed in his comments about the tongue, and then some things from Jesus himself. The first thing we need to understand, and we'll look at a number of texts tonight, is the fact that our words come from our hearts. That's not surprising, but as with many things, we need to be reminded of things like that. So Matthew chapter 15, verse 10, if you want to turn there. He's in this controversy over washing hands. And here's what Jesus says in response. This is Matthew 15, 10 and forward. And he called the people to him and said to them, "Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person." Then the disciples came to him and said, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone, they are blind guides, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witnesses, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." Jesus is clearly linking the things that are said with the condition of the heart. We can't ever escape that. We never have a simple excuse that we misspoke. That does happen. but very rarely. Usually we're speaking what's on our hearts and what's on our minds, and we need to remind ourselves that what we have on our hearts and on our minds isn't always good, and perhaps there are things that should not be spoken. Tonight we ask ourselves, according to the Proverbs, what kind of weight do our words carry? What kind of weight do our words carry? The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. I want to reverse the order for our purposes tonight and put the negative first. The negative first. Again, three simple categories, and then we'll go deeper each time. We'll get more intense, and we'll look at the bad and then the good. First of all, life-sapping words. Did you notice that the writer says that behind these words is violence? Hurtful words are meant to hurt. They're meant to do damage. And so we need to consider what we're saying. First of all, we need to avoid being negative, making constantly hurtful comments that drag down rather than build up. We need to be very careful with any criticism that we offer, not to make put downs of other people, not to berate anyone. It gets worse because they can actually be destructive. When words, negative words and berating constantly comes at someone, it can lead to causing them to have a broken spirit. Parents need to hear this, especially with children. A constant running down children, and I trust that none of you are guilty of any of that. But we need to be reminded that the words that we speak to our children impact them intensely. And so we have to be very careful. It can lead to a broken spirit, and we might be shocked to know just how much pain can be caused by our words, how much they're taken to heart. And then they can become deadly. It can deaden a spirit, lead to a broken spirit, but we also might be shocked to know how destructive they can be, where this constant running down can take people, where they begin to see themselves as worthless. And sometimes people who see themselves as worthless and keep in that mindset and don't find the grace and favor of God can be led to do some horrible things because they've been spoken to so badly for so long. Proverbs has a lot to say about the tongue. And if we were to take all the Proverbs about the tongue and apply them every day, we would be able to avoid so much of that kind of thing. But the fact is, even if we did that, we'd have to recognize that we mess up. Let's be frank. Messing up in this regard is sin. We often sin against one another with our tongues. Here's how quickly it can happen. When I was preparing for this sermon, I was going through the whole book of Proverbs and looking at different verses that had to do with the tongue. And within an hour, I had violated all of them. Not all of them. I'd say 50%. I'm making up statistics. I've violated a lot of them, to my shame. So I did this survey, and I want to share some of that with you. There's a lot of verses. I just want you to listen. I'm not going to give you the chapter and verse, but I'm going to read to you a number of them. If I feel like it's going too long, I'll stop. But I want you to listen. I don't want to throw a bunch of verses at you, so let me lob them at you. On the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense. The wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor. But by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright delivers them. Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but false witness utters deceit. There is one whose rash words are like a sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. By the mouth a fool comes a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve him. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness breathes out lies. A truthful witness saves lives, but one who breathes out lies is deceitful. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the one who breathes out lies is deceitful. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters, the fountain of wisdom, a bubbling brook. It is not good to be partial to the wicked or deprive the righteous of justice. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies. Death and life are the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. A false witness will not go unpunished, but he who breathes out lies will be punished. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. A false witness will not go unpunished. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Again and again, you read that same refrain. And then a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. And so forth and so on. That's a lot of verses. And there's more. And so I'm reading through this and I'm remembering or trying to remember. And here's how it works for us, sadly. I'm saying, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's God speaking to me. And within an hour, I'm in a situation where someone challenged me on something and my reaction was anything but gracious and my words were anything but sweet. And so we mess up. We sin. We sin against others. And we need to make it right when we do. There are times when we can't apologize. You think back, perhaps those of you who've lost their parents. I know that I said things to my dad and to my mom that I'm ashamed of, that I never had the chance to apologize for because I never had the guts to. There are acquaintances that I can never apologize to for the wicked words that I said to them. And so what do you do when you can't do that? You know, our minds trap these things. Not only do we remember hurtful things that people say to us, but I don't know about you, but I can remember saying some very, very mean, hurtful, destructive things as a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. And I think there's nothing I can do about that. I can't go back and take back those words. But here's what I can do, and here's what you can do. And perhaps it's the only thing you can do is to bear your soul to God and ask Him to forgive you. And I'm sorry to say that that doesn't mean that those thoughts of wicked things you said or hurtful things you said are just going to go away. But at least you'll know you've been forgiven. But there are people that you can forgive if you've spoken harsh words, evil words, hurtful words, destructive words to them. There may be someone right in your family. There may be someone right in your family, and you know for sure that you said something to them that you should not have said that was very hurtful, and you have the opportunity to go to them and apologize. There might be people right in this church that you have said something to, that you've hurt, that you need to apologize to. You need to go to them. And the thing is, we feel like we can't do it. We feel like we can't face it. And so what do? We either ignore it or expect them to ignore it. But the problem is the hurt, the tension doesn't just go away. Well, I want to say to you, if I've said anything to you personally that has hurt you, I want you to come to me. And I'll be embarrassed and I'll be ashamed. But I want to know that so we can be reconciled. And that's what I want for you all with one another. That's doesn't matter what I want. That's what God wants. Conversely, the tongue, the mouth, our words can be a life-giving fountain. And so you realize that the spring of that fountain has to be cleansed and purified. That's our hearts. And so that's really where the change has to come from. Jesus says of his people, and I understand that this is a very deep thing with a lot of implications, but Jesus says, whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That's a transformation of our inner person, of the spring of our soul, of our will. And when that's changed and when that's purified, then we'll be able to speak words that are edifying and encouraging and positive. So we'll again go in this progression. First, simply edifying, encouraging words. Now, let's not go over the top where everything is awesome, where everything everybody does is awesome. I see some parents, their children do the littlest, tiny little thing and they're awesome. I see a kid swing at a pitch 3 feet over his head and good eye, good eye. That's not what we're talking about here, but we need to be positive and encouraging, giving kudos for good effort, good jobs. Don't be stingy with your good words. That's very simple. That is very plain. More importantly, instruct in the way of life, the path of life, the truth in love. That's exactly what the writer of Proverbs is doing. That's what the parents in Proverbs are doing. They're giving words of life, words to live by, and they lead to life. Ultimately, as we've learned again and again in the Proverbs, it leads to the gospel. Life-giving words, inspiring people with a reason to live. And then ultimately, the words of life, the good news of the gospel. Bringing words of life to those who are currently dead in their trespasses and sins. And then, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, encouraging one another because we've been the recipients of the gospel. That Jesus died for us and we're now alive and we're now his children. We're to encourage one another with those words. Well, I can spend less time in the next two. But because we're building on this, we've only scratched the surface and now we're going to break some ground. To ask ourselves how we're using this powerful thing. Now, I did a sermon series on the tongue from James. Some would say ad nauseum, parsing the tongue. 7 sermons just on the tongue. But I want us to hear what James has to say about our use of the tongue. So if you'll turn with me to James chapter 3. Very clear in what he says here, addressing how we're using this powerful thing, the tongue. The first verse always puts me in my place. There's a proverb that says, where there are many words, sin is not absent. Those of us who preach and teach need to heed our words very carefully. Verse 1, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his own body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. You get the point. So I need to say very little. Our tongues can be wild. Our tongues can be destructive. Our tongues are powerful. Our words are mighty. And we need to be very cautious. And the thing is, they are tameable. They really are tameable. James would not just lay this out here to make us feel bad, to make us feel that there's no way to deal with this powerful thing called the tongue. No, it is tameable. But notice that he says it's not tameable by man. People, we need the grace of God. Because what comes out of our mouth is from what's deep rooted in our hearts. And we need to be touched by him there to transform us. Just a couple of thoughts on that. We need to stop and consider our hearts and our feelings towards others. And if we are speaking evil of others or to others, we're the ones who need to change. We're the ones who need grace. So that's number one. Number two, we need to change patterns, because if we're habitually negative and critical and judgmental and say hurtful things, it's again our problem. We need to judge ourselves a little more harshly. And then third, we need to choose our words carefully. Think before we speak, because we have this well bubbling up in us. And then things come into our minds and they swirl around. And I don't think that we often let them swirl around enough to where we bring them back in. But then out of our mouth comes something that we shouldn't have said. We need to take time and think before we speak. That's just common wisdom. But God will help us to do that. Finally, and most intensely, is the depths of a true confession of Christ. That may sound like a leap, but I want us to see a progression here. Because if we're talking about hearts, we really need to consider the condition of our hearts. If our words reveal what's in our hearts, we need to think. Two more verses. Passages, I should say. Matthew chapter 10, and we'll be done in just a few minutes. I hope I'm true to my own words. Matthew 10, verse 26. When Jesus speaks of the tongue, certainly he would address the kind of surface thing, if I can use that word, that we've dealt with in Proverbs. He can deal with the way we're using our tongues, the way James does, because those things come from God ultimately. But he is the one who probes our hearts. And watch the way our confession, our profession, our testimony ties into the condition of our hearts. Matthew 10:26. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. It's very sobering. I'm preaching in Matthew, as some of you know, in the morning, and eventually we'll look at those verses a lot closer. But our hearts are revealed, and then there's a review. And this is the ultimate. This is the ultimate. Just turn over to Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. We need to process this the right way. And again, the Lord willing, we'll be dealing with Matthew 12 in due time. But listen closely again to the tie-in of the condition of the heart and the account that we'll give. Matthew 23, beginning in verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Again, simply tonight, making the connection, the Lord willing, being able to probe that deeper in due time. But the condition of our heart is revealed by our words. So consider first your standing before God. Consider the condition of your heart. Consider the way you think, and then consider what you say. And put your mouth, your tongue, your words to good use. Let's pray. Lord our God, we come to you very much aware that we need your help. First of all, your wonderful help to help us in our hearts and our wills, Lord, and to help us to have the mind of Christ. But we need help in the way that we use our words as well. Lord, we, like Isaiah, are a sinful people. We live in a sinful world. And we need to have our tongues, our mouths, sanctified by the fire of your Spirit and of your word. Lord, please, we pray, forgive us for the many things that we have spoken, for the damage that we've done, sometimes unintentionally, by not counting our words, considering our words. But, Lord, we confess, perhaps I'm alone in confessing tonight. I've used my tongue very intentionally to hurt people. And Lord, so I pray that you would forgive me. And I trust that some of my brothers and sisters here tonight have to pray much the same way. And where we don't have an opportunity to reconcile, to ask for forgiveness, please grant us grace that we might move forward. But where we can, Lord, we pray that you would help us to reconcile and to own up to where we have sinned against our brothers and sisters with our words, where we've sinned against our neighbors with our words. Grant us not only the grace of forgiveness, but the ability, the resolve, the courage to confess our sins one to another, that there might be healing and forgiveness where we've spoken evil. Lord, as we go into a new week, we pray that we would guard our tongues. Purify our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.